Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Was the fall of Adam a good thing? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at Chapter 6 in the manual titled Gospel Principles, a vetted correlated manual put out by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints meant to teach members what Mormon doctrine actually teaches. Chapter 6 says, The Fall of Adam and Eve, and it begins by saying, Adam and Eve were the first to come to earth.
And this is on page 27. It says, God prepared this earth as a home for his children. Adam and Eve were chosen to be the first people to live on the earth. Their part in our Father's plan was to bring mortality into the world. They were to be the first parents. Adam and Eve were among our Father's noblest children. In the spirit world, Adam was called Michael, the archangel.
Let me first point out that sentence that says, Adam and Eve were among our Father's noblest children. Here again is another reference to the preexistence and what an important doctrine this is in Mormonism, because as we've said, merit means everything in the context of Mormonism. You had to have merit. You had to prove yourself worthy in order to come to earth in a human body. You need to have merit, or you have to prove yourself worthy in order to achieve the best Mormonism has for you in the celestial kingdom. It's all about merit. It's all about doing good. Now, where it says in the spirit world, Adam was called Michael the archangel, here we find one of the rare times we find a Bible verse being used. But is it being used well? Is Jude 1:9 being used properly?
Well, I'm going to read Jude 1:9, and you tell me. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, The Lord rebuke you.
Now, by itself, that's probably confusing to most, but I would have to just encourage you to go and read the book of Jude to get that whole context. But the point we're trying to make here is the statement is made on page 27 that Adam was called Michael the archangel, and then they give you as a proof text Jude 1:9. Jude 1:9 does not say that Adam was called Michael the archangel.
And neither does it have that in the Joseph Smith translation called the Inspired Version. So I'm not sure why they would use a verse. Perhaps it's been talked about by some of the leaders, but that could be confusing to a Christian who's considering joining the church to read that and say, oh, Jude 1 supports their idea.
It's almost as if I think they're hoping that the reader doesn't check these verses out, because so far I'm not really impressed with some of the proof texts that they're using to support these positions. On page 28, it talks about the Garden of Eden.
When Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, they were not yet mortal. In this state, they would have had no children, according to 2 Nephi 2:23. There was no death. They had physical life because their spirits were housed in physical bodies made from the dust of the earth. They had spiritual life because they were in the presence of God. They had not yet made a choice between good and evil.
Now, this is a little bit confusing for, I'm sure, many people, because it says that they were not yet mortal, but yet they had physical life because their spirits were housed in physical bodies. I think we have to understand that what this manual is trying to get across to us is they are separating physicality from longevity. I don't know if you can really do that the way most people understand mortality, because when we talk about mortality, we talk about physicality. Just underneath that paragraph that you were reading from, Eric, it says, God commanded them to have children. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And it cites Moses 2:28 in the Pearl of Great Price. I find this odd, because this be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, we find in our Bibles in Genesis 1:28, which of course takes place prior to the fall in Genesis chapter 3. God is telling them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, but as the manual points out, they were not capable of having children at this point. And yet 1 Nephi 3:7 in the Book of Mormon says what?
And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which he commanded them.
So I guess what they would probably say is, though they may not have been able to physically fulfill that commandment, the prepared way would be for Adam and Eve to partake of the fruit, and then they would be given the ability to procreate.
So that all begs the question, why didn't God wait until it was an appropriate time to give that commandment?
Yeah, because at the time he's giving it, according to Genesis 1:28, they weren't physically capable of meeting that commandment. Now, on page 29, it talks about great blessings resulted from the transgression. Now, when you read this, Eric, do you know of anyone in Christian circles that would find the fall of Adam and Eve as being something great, to be a positive experience?
No, not at all.
Not at all. But yet, this is what Dallin Oaks says. Dallin Oaks currently serves as an apostle in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In an Ensign article, which was taken from a conference message he gave called The Great Plan of Happiness. You can find this in the November 1993 Ensign, page 73. He says this, some Christians condemn Eve for her act, concluding that she and her daughters are somehow flawed by it. Not the Latter-day Saints! Informed by revelation, we celebrate Eve's act and honor her wisdom and courage in the great episode called the Fall. Notice clearly he has to say, informed by revelation. Why does he have to couch his point with that phrase? It's because you will not find anywhere in the Bible that points to the fall as being a positive experience. The Jews, I'm sure, when you look at the Old Testament, would have seen it as a negative experience. Christians have historically seen the fall as a negative experience, but not in Mormonism.
According to the Church Manual Old Testament Seminary Teacher Resource Manual on page 15, it says the fall of Adam and Eve was not a mistake or a surprise. Had they not chosen to become mortal, neither they nor the rest of Heavenly Father's children could progress to become like God. The fall was a necessary part of the plan, but there are some negative consequences from which we need to be saved.
Notice the word that's used more than once. In fact, on this page 29, I can count right off the bat, three times the word transgression is used. And then the paragraph that starts with, some people believe Adam and Eve committed a serious sin when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. However, Latter-day Scriptures help us understand that their fall was a necessary step in the plan of life and a great blessing to all of us. Because of the fall, we are blessed with physical bodies, the right to choose between good and evil, and the opportunity to gain eternal life. None of these privileges would have been ours had Adam and Eve remained in the garden. And then it says, after the fall, Eve said, were it not for our transgression, we never would have had seed or children, it says in brackets, and never should have known good and evil and the joy of our redemption and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient. And then it cites Moses 5:11, which of course is unique scripture that is LDS. But I want to zero in on the word sin. Some people believe Adam and Eve committed a serious sin. According to the manual Preparing for Exaltation, 1993, page 9, the fall of Adam was not a sin, but a blessing. It enables us to progress toward exaltation. And then also in the teacher's manual for that same Preparing for Exaltation manual, in 1998, page 13, it reads, the decision of Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit was not a sin, as is sometimes considered by other Christian church. It was a transgression, an act that was formally prohibited, but not inherently wrong. What do we do with that, though, Eric, in light of Romans 5:12?
Well, yeah, Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned."
So, what Paul is recognizing is that first man is being Adam, and even Mormons will admit, because of this quote-unquote transgression, he would die. But Paul sees the transgression, that word that Mormons like to use, as being synonymous with sin. That's not the only place where we find this connection. What about 1 John 3:4?
Yeah, 1 John 3:4. And if you go on with that passage in verse 14, it says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." So there you have the word transgression and sin being used in the very same sentence. And then if you go on to 1 John 3:4, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law."
So the Mormons can try to sidestep this issue by making it look like it wasn't really sin when they substitute the word transgression. But the Bible doesn't allow them to do that because it finds both sin and transgression as being a synonymous term.
It's like the term white lie. You know, it's a lesser than a real lie. In a sense, what they're trying to do with transgression is make it look like it's less than sin.
What we find in this chapter, however, is the fact, as Mormonism teaches, they firmly believe that if Adam had not transgressed or fallen, the idea of mankind procreating would not have been granted to them.
And at the very bottom of the page 29, they quote 2 Nephi 2, which is very popular. "Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy." That, again, is found in a unique Latter-day Saint scripture. It's not from the Bible.
Absolutely not. And so, once again, we find that the Mormon view of the creation, as the Mormon view of many other topics, other religious topics that seemingly we share, are not similar at all.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.